And now, if you're a Sydney-sider, you'll know some iconic buildings. And living history is all around us in many forms, but when it comes to the built environment, especially across Sydney City and its fringes, the survival of that cultural heritage can face enormous challenges. So like I said, the Rocks, Hyde Park Barracks, QVB Building, they've all got a historical and cultural significance for us. Here to discuss this cultural heritage in the context of urban planning as Sydney is growing and evolving is Sharon Veal. Now, Sharon is the CEO and partner at GML Heritage. She's also a sessional lecturer for heritage planning at the University of New South Wales, an author and a trustee board member of Sydney Living Museums. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, in this context of urban and regional planning, what exactly is cultural heritage?
Well, cultural heritage is defined under a range of statutory planning instruments. And essentially, cultural heritage are those places and environments and buildings and works and relics and collections that we think are important at both local level or state level, national level or world level.
Right. And so what are some of the cultural heritage sites across central Sydney and its fringes at the moment?
Well, there are many, many places that are listed. So we've got landscapes listed like Bondi Beach, like the Royal Botanic Gardens and Centennial Park. In the Blue Mountains, there are walking tracks listed. And then in terms of built form, there are a number of really significant buildings and structures, like everybody would be familiar in central Sydney with the Opera House. The area of the Rocks is heritage listed, as is Miller's Point. The Sydney Harbour Bridge is listed, and a range of buildings within the city of Sydney, as well as conservation areas around the city, including areas like Paddington, in various suburban areas, places such as Haberfield that have a really interesting planning history and a uniformity and character are listed as heritage conservation areas. So there's a real range and diversity of places that are protected under the various planning instruments and pieces of legislation.
And are any of them controversial at the moment?
Certainly, there are a number of, with the rapid growth and development that we've seen in Sydney and are still seeing, yes, a number of places are under threat and are controversial. One more recent example is obviously the Sirius Building.
Yes,
Which, was built in the late 70s to house tenants after the Rocks redevelopment, and the government made a decision to sell that building in around 2015, I think. And at that time also, the community thought that that building had heritage value or significance and wanted it to be listed. The Heritage Council recommended listing of that building to the minister at the time. But the minister said that actually if we listed that building, it would cause the state undue financial hardship. The Land and Environment Court found that that was actually an error of law. It was an invalid argument and said to the new minister that actually he or she had to actually consider whether the building was of heritage value. That minister said that she thought that it wasn't a landmark worthy of State Heritage Register listing. But nonetheless, it's clear from the communities and various groups that have been involved in protecting and advocating for the protection of that building that it is significant to the community.
The government
seeks to make a different decision because actually they that their view is that the money that they would earn by the sale of that property could be better directed to the provision of more public housing in another location.
I agree with saving it. I think it's a really iconic building. I think it speaks to a time and an era, and I'm glad that it's not going to be demolished. Do you think there's an ambivalence towards the preservation of our built cultural heritage sites within the wider community?
It's interesting. I think it varies. I think a lot of people still consider heritage to be really old buildings. But heritage, as you mentioned in the introduction, is really the living values and attachments and connections that we have to place. The built environment and that urban context give us meaning and enable us to feel really connected to place. And I think there is ambivalence, certainly, but when those areas or special places are under threat, I think we see the community rise up and respond. And certainly in areas such as Ryde, for example, that have been subject to quite significant transformation in recent years, we've seen communities saying, actually, enough's enough. Yeah. Where is the character of our area, our suburb going? Are we losing the specialness and unique qualities that really mean something to us?
Yeah. And look, given the recent developments and proposals around Darling Harbour and Pyrmont and Barangaroo, what do you think is a good balance between conservation and development?
I think really engaging the community in deeper discussions around what is important in their local area, and actually working with planners and architects and historians and a range of experts to really look more deeply at the sorts of communities and places that we want to build into the future. Growth is inevitable, and we have to respond to growth, but we need to respond to growth in a way that respects our history and heritage. And I don't think there's a secret formula. It's a case-by-case basis, and we have to be sensitive to that historic urban context.
Sharon, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate your input and wisdom in this, what can be a bit of a sensitive topic.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye. And if you've just tuned in, that was Sharon Veal, who's the CEO and partner at GML Heritage, talking to us about the cultural heritage in the context of urban planning in Sydney, particularly as we're growing and development seems to be rolling full steam ahead.